Hi, this is Clarissa Jacobson from Lunch Ladies, and you're listening to Extra Features Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode 264. My name is Kevin.
My name is Clarity Starling, and it's the 30th anniversary of my movie.
I'm Daniel, and I have the same mic as Simon now.
I'm Doug. I'm feeling the burn.
Billy in turn, and I've got nothing.
Nothing? How do you come with nothing? You've had 2 weeks to come with something.
Something in what way?
Anything.
Well, you brought a new haircut.
Okay. There you go.
I don't call that bringing anything. I just call it a haircut.
You lost something, more like.
Yeah.
The hair.
So what's been happening, Kevin? We got more snow. Not as much as Doug did, though.
No, because of where we're located. How are you doing, Doug? Are you buried up to your knees?
Well, at least. I think we got like 20-some-odd inches over the past 2 weeks. So close to 2 feet. What? Not so fun.
You have two young children, Doug.
Yeah. Well, teenagers.
Do you put them to work?
I try to, but they sleep so much. And then they use the excuse they have school, so they can't possibly dig out while they're in school.
Don't they have online school?
Well, yeah. It's still school.
They have recess, and they have lunch hour.
What state are you in?
I'm in New Jersey.
Oh, okay. All the way over there.
There's always excuses for them not to shovel, so.
Are you located near Westview?
Very close.
Very close, yeah.
Yes.
Near Hoboken. No. Which state, what city is it near? Oh, I can't remember. Oh, well. I looked it up on the map. There is a Westview.
There is? I didn't know there actually really was a Westview.
Yeah, yeah. I think Hoboken is right nearby.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm close to Hoboken. Not too close, but.
So I think if you were to travel from the Bronx into Jersey and go through, you would end up going through or going by Westview.
Okay. So somewhat close, but not. I'm about 45 minutes from there, so.
Okay. And of course, we're talking about WandaVision.
I know what you're talking about.
I can see the excitement on Simon's face. Simon,
are we touching on WandaVision this week and my utter hate of the show more days?
I don't know why you hate it so much, but sure.
Because it's silly.
Okay.
There's only parts of it I like.
Okay.
Most of it I dislike.
I will say this was Owen's favorite episode because it started off as a Malcolm in the Middle homage. So.
Oh, is that what it was? I had no idea on Twitter. This one.
Yeah, so he enjoyed that.
It's a good
Uncle
show.
Pete. I enjoyed Uncle Pete in this episode.
I enjoyed Uncle Pete, but yeah. I'm getting to the point, I just don't care.
Well, after this one, it's the last three are an hour long per
so
episode.
So maybe I'll like them? I doubt it.
So we're only about halfway through the show, so.
And Kevin, you're missing on the big point here. You got suckered into a fake trailer. Could you like to comment on that?
Well, Screen Junkies put out these fake trailers, and they indicated that two episodes were coming a couple weeks ago. But
against Screen Junkies.
But you went on your Facebook and were talking about the two episodes coming.
No, I just said, here's a screenshot. It looks like we're getting two episodes. That's all I posted.
I know, but you have a lot of followers, a lot of friends, a lot of people that believe you.
Well, on the Friday, they found out there was only one episode, and I deleted the post.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, I guess that teaches.
Yes, it was all part of my liberal conspiracy to.
I think it was
fool people. You know.
The master plan.
Yes.
Don't sweat the little things, Kevin. Don't sweat them.
Well, you know, the devil's in the details and the little things. So.
Yes, the little things, directed by John Lee Hancock, starring Denzel Washington, Rami Malek, Jared Leto, Chris Bauer, Terry Kinney, Natalie Morales.
Are all these people really in this film?
Apparently. Yeah. I mean, I really only know the three and then Natalie Morales.
Did they forget the big whop of super boredom that comes with this film?
I think so.
Like the lack of interest for the viewer as the film goes to the 2 hour mark. And I'm just like, there's no point to this. Is that in the synopsis?
Well, why don't you continue and give us your review of the movie? Since you started.
Well, I guess we might as well. I really detested this movie. I never saw the point. I was in it for about half an hour. I'm like, okay, great. I'm in. And as it's going and I'm seeing nothing being done to get to where they want me to get to, I got more annoyed. And more annoyed. And then by the end, I was so pissed it wasn't funny. I'm like, this is pointless. Absolute waste of my 2 hours. Denzel is done. I'm done. This was a waste of mine. Rami Malek had one good thing. I saw it. It's called the Queen movie, Bohemian Rhapsody. Everything else, I'm done. Yeah. This was a waste of my time. A waste for anybody's time. Absolutely pointless film. This is the worst detective work I've ever seen in my life. It makes no sense half the time. Jared Leto looks as going, look, I'm the only guy working here. Everybody else looks lost. Remy Malek staring into space, hoping Brian, whatever the guy from Queen Jemay, shows up and gives him a song to sing. This absolutely drove me nuts. This film should not be watched and buried. Where they buried the spoiler, I'm not going to say, but they did it at the end. They should bury this film right beside it. That's what I have to say about it.
Well, all right then.
Okay.
All righty then.
tell us how you really feel.
Is that you're going to be your only rant for the night, sir?
No, I have many tonight. Don't worry. This list did not make me happy.
Okay.
He's going to have at least a 3 times longer rant for Malcolm and Marie.
Oh.
He'll be trolling Denzel's son.
Sure.
Oh, you're not allowed to get a drink.
For people who don't know, he put that in the chat that he's getting a drink, and now it's just Clarice Sterling staring at us.
Clearly, after that review, it's alcoholic.
Yeah.
All right, who would like to go next?
Can I go check the cobbler?
Glug, can I? Glug.
Well, what do you think of it?
Who?
You.
Me? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, at first, like, I thought... I was almost talking to Simon about this. I was like, I thought Denzel like was on his last legs as well, but then it started to get better. I thought. I know Simon's going to disagree, but he's not here, so we can say it. I thought that him and Rami had good chemistry, and then Jared. I wasn't expecting that from Jared. But as it got better as I went along, like. Like I thought as his character, it was winding. His career was winding down. I thought the same with Denzel, but it showed something. Like it kept showing, going back to a certain scene, and I was a little shocked. I was a little surprised, not shocked, but surprised at that. And it sort of made sense by the end of the movie. Like his character, and his what's it called when is like anyway
PTSD.
Is what?
PTSD. Drama?
Yeah, that's it. It always drama. Yeah, drama. It made sense to me why it was like that. I'm finished.
Oh, I'm back. What the hell? This film does not get better. When does it get better? Explain to me the scene where it gets better.
I thought you were getting a drink.
I'm getting a drink. Right here.
You getting pizza
tell
too?
Me how this film gets better, intern. Explain it to me.
So I just did while you were gone.
I heard it
again.
The chemistry was boring.
It was
nothing.
Good. I even ran about. No, can you shut up for a second?
He thought he was speaking freely, Simon.
He was.
Yeah, I was, but not anymore. I even read a review of Denzel. Denzel was watching Rami and Jared in scenes together in the confession room or whatever it was, and he says he was watching that, standing back and watching them go, and he was saying I can't remember, and he was saying this is where I was years ago and this is where they are now, like and I know you're going to disagree, but I thought it got better close like after the first half hour. No, you're not going to talk. You're not going to talk me out of it.
It was like a slant going right to the trash bin. Starts up here and just goes quickly. It's like one of those rocket slides. You know, you get in, you cross your arms, and you fire down the water slide.
Loose.
And you're out. That's exactly what happened in this film. Next.
I don't know. I'd equate it more to a water slide, and you're just not moving. You're just trying to get down that water slide.
Well,
and
because
and your butt's kind of stuck, and it's kind of going.
Like a mudslide? Yeah.
You know,
and you're
what?
Like, come on, I want to get down this thing.
It's like being at the Peter Pan ride at Disneyland, and you're stuck, and you're in front of those things that talks to you, and you hear it for like 16, 17 minutes, but multiply that by an hour and a half. You're like, look, it's Peter Pan and Wendy.
Ted Doug
knows what I'm talking about
when
you're stuck at Disneyland and this repeat over and over and over
Chuck
again.
E. Cheese?
To the point you're like, why am I on this ride? Yes, it's like being stuck in Chuck E. Cheese.
I think
to
we've hit Simon's post-traumatic distress. Yes.
Like, why is this
film is terrible?
Like, why is this slide 2 hours and 10 minutes? You know, sorry, Kevin,
somebody owes me my time back.
Well, it won't be me.
Here, I'm gonna hop in. I agree. It was very too long. Way too long.
Right.
Performances were adequate. I didn't think that anyone really shone in it, but they were all okay. To me, this is like Kiss the Girls and a few other movies like that that are just kind of okay serial killer crime drama movies. I have friends that love these kinds of films. There were a couple of moments where I was interested when he was following Jared Leto's car around. I was interested. That was what's going on here. You know, and he calls from the mile marker and he says, what mile marker was it that this happened? And he goes, he's like, it's at 0146. Of course, he's right there at the mile marker. You know, Denzel's got some baggage. We can't figure out why he's all hung up over this one case, which is a very similar serial killer type of situation. And of course, something happened where he covered up a crime. And I don't know, I thought, like, again, it was too long, but I wasn't as bored as you were. But it wasn't, it was not, like, I wouldn't pay to go watch this movie.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, no one's ever, no, who are you pointing at, Simon?
It's on mute.
Me or Doug? Oh.
Intern.
Oh, okay. We're all on different points in our screen, Simon. So,
yeah.
So the okay. Intern might be below you, but for you, no, actually, right. Intern's over here for me.
Yeah. Well, I'm on.
There's there's Daniel, there's me.
I'm on speaker view, so everybody's everywhere. Yeah, we can never give Simon his 130 minutes back, but you know what? It was fine. I didn't despise it, but I like the way John Lee Hancock's. I liked the way that he kind of captured the look of the gritty Los Angeles of just like serial killer movies of like Fincher with Seven and Zodiac.
Yeah, a lot of callbacks to Seven. I thought in this movie. Yeah.
But I wanted I found myself very disappointed because I wanted serial killer movie and not Moral Dilemma, where it's just like dark brooding character study. And it's just like, that's fine. You know, I think we get to the root of Denzel's character and I'm nowhere close to declare him done. Maybe John Lee Hancock done. Cause I can't think of all the films he's made, but, I like that, The Blind Side, even though that's like a white savior kind of movie. I like that one. But yeah, I found myself very mad at the ending just like, ooh, you made me mad. Mr. Joker, Jared Leto, I'm going to hit you with a shovel. So we'll just spoil it, you know? And then I just with the detective work too, I have to agree with Simon that it's kind of weak just in the way that we only have one suspect. Like that's fine with
the
movie.
Blind Side.
That, sorry. Yeah.
You
yeah.
Did. The Blind Side and The Founder.
Okay. Oh, The Founder's fine. Yeah. But no, like, what was I saying? Yeah, like we only have one suspect, and like that's fine with the movie, like Summer of '84, because that's not like a detective movie. But with this one, we need more than one suspect with Jared Leto, and it's just the ending.
There are many suspects. The whole film is suspect.
Yeah, sure. But I do agree with Kevin too. I like the tension of him following Denzel following the car.
That was decent. I enjoyed that part, but I didn't
know. And the scene when Remy never should have let him go, though, or yeah, Remy never should have went.
When Remy goes into the car with him, I thought, like, that's a very tense scene.
Yes.
Never should have done it. I had a feeling we were going to see a Seven type moment where Remy's head was going to be in a box again, or something was going to bad was going to happen.
So. This time it's what's in the hole.
See, I thought.
Exactly.
I went through thinking for sure that Rami Malek was the killer. The way he was so okay. he took Mr. Robot to heart in this movie. He was so robotic. He had no emotions. I wanted to rescind his Oscar from Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, I already did.
He was the one I did not like. I thought Jared Leto did a great job. It looked like he was actually having fun in this film. Mm-hmm. Denzel could do this role in his sleep, and it kind of seemed like he was doing it in his sleep.
That's what I was thinking at first.
But one good thing that came out of it was Owen decided he really wanted to watch David Fincher films the weekend after watching this, so we watched Seven and Zodiac. So,
oh, great.
Right.
I can't complain about that.
Good, Owen. Good job, buddy. When you're listening to this, good job for me.
I was wondering if you're doing that after watching this one or before. And I was like, okay, like, so you're showing him how not to do it first, and then you're showing how the master does it.
Well, one of his all-time favorite films is Silence of the Lambs.
Okay.
And this was one of the few other serial killer movies he's seen, so he said, what are good ones to watch? So I said, well, let me introduce you to Fincher.
Okay.
And that's where we went from there.
So I was thinking, Kevin, what did you do on this Valentine's Day? Did you reenact anything? Did you do anything different?
What do you mean? Oh, you mean it's Valentine's Day?
It's Valentine's Day.
I had no idea.
So I thought about sending you a direct message so we can reenact Blue Valentine. You know, a couple having a fight, and the whole movie's about 2 hours, and they'll put you to sleep.
I had a hankering to watch Marriage Story over again. And
you mean the good version of Malcolm Marie?
Yeah.
Put a boom. Does someone else want to take the cast list on this one? Because it's much very easy.
No, you're doing it.
Okay, John. Directed by Sam. Is it Sam Levinson? Yeah, directed by Sam Levinson, starring John David Washington and Zendaya. And that's it.
All right. I did not care for this film. It did not feel like a film to me. It felt like it should have been a stage play, but it was so much about Malcolm's filmmaking that it almost couldn't be a stage play because of that. But Malcolm just came across as one of those filmmakers who I can't stand. He's a gatekeeper. He wants to know it all. He wants to be smarter than everybody in the room. The critic who didn't know who William Wyler is was beneath him because she didn't know who William Wyler is. I don't like that. I don't like gatekeepers. If you don't know who William Wyler is, I'm happy to make recommendations for you. I love the movie The Heiress. Zendaya as Marie, she kind of felt too young for the role for me. I think with the experiences that character went through, I would have felt it more if the character was over 30 years old. That's just my opinion, though. What do you guys think?
I'll go on from that. She is a bit young just for the pairing, but I feel like just because she's like that young doesn't mean she hasn't like gone through that, I guess. But, I thought she was my favorite part of the film, just like especially that scene in the bathtub when she's just listening to the monologue and just it's just heartbreaking. But I agree. I didn't love this film. It was more of like a stage play, very much so. But it's yeah, like you said, it's about the filmmaking. And totally agree with the gatekeeping. The only time I ever liked Malcolm was just when he was ranting about that Vanity Fair review, just because that's. As a critic, or just like that's everything I don't want to be as a critic, just spewing nonsense. And if one good thing comes out of Malcolm Marie, it'll be like a YouTube thing where he, as the character, reads negative reviews about Malcolm and Marie, because that would just be amazing. And then just the monologues were between very boring to decent for me, with the Drew's thank you speech at the end, and then that review thing, that review rant, which was like a very Simon rant, I think.
But yeah. Oh, so now it's my turn. You're letting me talk. I know you've been muting me for like 5 minutes here. Oh, I heard the segue. First off, I want to know, this is based on a real thing. The director really did forget to mention his wife in the speech. That's where it came from.
Okay.
They filmed it over the first 2 days of filming. They scrapped. They didn't like the shooting. So they switched to a handheld. So that's all, this is handheld for the whole thing. The shot. Other than that, I found this film completely, utterly useless to watch for anybody. It annoyed me. It was like watching Blue Valentine all over again, which I absolutely hated. I'm like, I don't believe anything these characters are saying. Zendaya was drug dealer. I do not believe that. She doesn't look like one, act like one, talk like one.
Nope.
I feel she's just voicing a part that she never lived. John Day Washington, he's a shot in the nuts by a somebody. Shut up. You're a pretentious dick. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear you talk for an hour and a half. I don't believe your film was this good. I don't believe anything you're saying, because nobody talks like this. If they do, they're assholes, and I don't want to deal with them. This film took me almost 3 days to watch. I couldn't watch it. I absolutely hated the characters, hated the premise, thought it was dumb and pointless. I don't understand why somebody would write this. This is uninteresting. The only thing I liked about it was shot in black and white. I thought it had really nice color textures. I like that style. But other than that, it was uninteresting.
Sort of a film noir type thing?
I like that look. I did like the look of the film, but I didn't believe Zendaya, and I didn't believe John David Washington. I didn't believe either of these characters were who they were. Because the words coming out of their mouth, I'm like, there's not a chance. John David Washington is talking like me, Doug, or Kevin, who watches hundreds and hundreds of films a year. I don't think John David Washington watched 5 films his character. He probably just watched some critic stuff and went, okay, that's enough.
He watched a Lego movie.
He probably watched the Lego
movie. That Lego movie was fire.
And, I mean, his wife comes home and makes him craft dinner after the premiere. I don't see that. Like, when they've gone out for dinner to a party, that's usually what happens.
Like 1 a.m.
Oh, right? They were at a party, but she didn't want to stay. I remember that part.
Okay. But it's middle of the night. Would have eaten something, you know, or eaten beforehand, because that's the way premieres work. So I don't know why the director's missing that. I guess they wanted that craft dinner scene. I mean, they are going to have sex, not going to have sex. They're going to argue. Oh, God, I don't care. Shut up. Uninterested. Boring. Don't want to talk about it anymore. Kevin.
All right. First off, I love the look of this film. The cinematography was fantastic. The use of the house and the layout of it and the windows around it, it was, I mean, I watched the whole thing in one sitting, oddly enough.
Same here.
And I was hypnotized by the visuals. However, I could not care less about these two characters. I was interested at first, and it was actually right up to the time where he's eating his Kraft dinner. And she's like, you're not actually eating the Kraft dinner I ate you while we're fighting. And he's like, yeah, it looks good. It's good Kraft dinner. And I'm like, okay, I'm relating to these characters. I kind of get it. She's being a bit of a jerk to him. But he's infinitely worse as the film gets on. I agree. She was way too young to play someone who had been a recovering addict that he based the film role on. It just didn't strike me as Zendaya is, what, 24? And she's been, up to this point, she's been playing teenage characters. I mean, she was a 17 or 18-year-old Mary Jane Watson in the Spider-Man films. And she's done some shows where she's played a teenager. It just came across as... I don't know. Didn't work for me. As he said, Marriage Story was better.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, both are like they have charisma, but I think that the movie itself was just not that interesting. They're just not that interesting character wise. You know, personality wise, okay, but. So yeah. I'm not sorry I watched it, but I would never watch this ever again.
No.
Oh, me neither. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
can I continue the warm and fuzzy feeling with this movie?
Oh, sure.
I agree with like the style of the film, like when we were talking about like how it was done, but not the characters. I got one argument was enough for me, and they kept on going back, forth, back, forth. I was sick of the constant bickering, so I said, well, I have to finish it now. And I just had no interest after. I would never, as you said, Kevin, I would never watch it again.
There's a freaking tail going across your screen.
You mean this tail? That one? Will you sit down? There was one scene I did like, where Zendaya's character, like her acting talent, and it showed Zendaya's one with the, like she was saying, she was coming at him with a knife, and she was saying, like, she wasn't really coming at him, but she was like trying to emote with a knife, and that did work a little, but the rest of the movie, I would never watch this again.
No.
Has anybody watched Sam Levinson's HBO show Euphoria?
Not yet.
No.
Okay. I haven't either. I was just curious.
Okay. So Zendaya seems like his muse, kind of, in a way.
Well, I have seen Sam Levinson's other feature film, Assassination Nation. That one I felt was a little, his metaphors were a little too nail on the head. So I guess he took those criticisms to heart, because I have no idea what the ultimate metaphor of this movie is. He kind of hit it too well.
Thank your loved ones.
There you go.
Yeah. Just thank your loved ones. Still don't know what I think about Assassination Nation. That was such a weird movie.
It was,
yes.
Were there any promising young women in Malcolm and Marie?
Well, Zendaya.
No, didn't see one.
It promised, but she didn't deliver.
Oh, okay. Promising young woman, directed by Emerald.
Like Bob States.
Boom. Oh. Promising Young Woman, directed by Emerald Fennell, starring Carey Mulligan, Bo Burnham, Laverne Cox, Oz and Bree, Adam Brody, Sam Richardson, Clancy Brown, Jennifer Coolidge, and Mick Lovin. Also known as Christopher Mintz Plasse.
No, no, Mick Lovin, we all know who that is. So, should I just go on a rant for the night? Is that
another one?
Another one.
Okay, DJ Khaled.
I will start. I've been reading people going, oh, I love this film. It's woman empowerment. I'm like, am I watching Groundhog Day? Because this is repeat.
But it's not the same people getting.
Repeat. It's the same scene over and over again. Everybody
different people she's after.
Same conversation over and over again. To the point I'm like, I don't care anymore. Let's go meet somebody else. Oh, look, I trapped your daughter. Oh, no, look, Alison Brie got trapped. Oh, no, Mick Lovin, he got trapped. Bo Burnham, he's going to be the good guy. Oh, no, he's a bad guy. He could get out of this. Oh, no, we'll make him not get trapped. But we'll get to the end of the film, and she gets trapped. Boring. Continuously same themes over and over. I got it the first 10 minutes. This film was obviously on the direct path of where it was going. I was not surprised. I thought this film would only hold up because of Carey Mulligan. I thought she did a fantastic job. I just didn't like this film. I found it so repetitious. It was driving me insane. How I feel is watching the same themes over and over and over again. I got it. Didn't interest me at all. It was solidly directed, yes. Well written, sure. I just didn't like it. I like the colors. I like the cinematography. I thought that was really well done. I thought the line deliveries were fine. I just didn't like the premise. I just thought it was like a Groundhog Day film. Same thing over and over and over again. Okay, Mr. Intern, you're disagreeing? Let's hear it.
All right. This is a Carey Mulligan film. I saw The Dig right before this, so I'm thinking this was a 180 degrees or is it three? No, 180 degree turn from that movie. It made sense to me in the sense that her life, there was a trauma in her life, like when she was younger, and then she's carrying out.
Is that a dinosaur, Bob?
Where? The black cat?
That's a big ass cat.
No, it's not. She's not that big. It's only because of the screen. Anyway,
okay.
Christopher Mintz-Plasse, he was disturbing for me. When his character was really disturbing me, and then he gets caught by her, and she says, "What are you doing?" And she sets up like she's supposed to be drunk, and she sits up and says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "What?" And he says, "What are you doing?" Now I know Simon said it's very repetitive, but because like it was different people getting get off, it was different people that she was after targeting. I thought Carrie did a really good job, and like it's directed and written well written. It was a believable and scary character. Like as a man, like if somebody did something to you to a girl like years ago and she's after you, yeah, I'd be scared. But this movie I like.
Okay, fair enough. Right. You want me to go?
Yep, sure. Go for it.
Yeah, this is my number four of the year. I loved everything about this film, or mostly everything at least. I liked the structure, the sequence of events. I didn't find it repetitive. I mean, yeah, she's going in the way of just going to people after people, just teaching more men, like, hey, maybe don't take advantage of drunk women. Or just don't take advantage of your power. And
well, there was one girl involved, the mother of the daughter of the mother that was in on it as well.
What do you mean?
Well, the dean of the school. Yeah. Like she was there at the party that this happened.
Yeah, 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 no, yeah.
It was not there at the party.
No, no,
she was
no.
Investigating it.
Right. She didn't do anything about it. She just said, let's
she
let
said
it go.
There was no information to help her.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, no, I was getting there. Yeah, and then just going through the men, and then also the systemic just error of what happened and of schools and how they handled it with Connie Nielsen's. It's Connie Britton. Yeah,
correct.
Connie Britton's
Connie
character.
Britton, yeah.
And then Alfred Molina. I forgot so many people in this film. With forget which character he played. Anyway,
a lawyer.
Alfred Molina was the lawyer, I think, or a doctor.
Yes. Yeah, and then with
Nancy
Alison
Brown was her father.
Yeah, and then Alison Brie doing her character and just teaching all these people. I thought that was fascinating. I thought it was entertaining. And then the romance of Bo Burnham. I liked the scene with the Paris Hilton song. I thought that was funny. I like the dark comedy. The ending started to lose me a little bit, but then it brought me right back with just one of my favorite endings of the year with the texts. That was awesome.
Yeah.
You know what? That was kind of cool. I will give the texts some full.
I didn't know that could be done. Like a text that could be sent.
Yeah, schedule it
days in advance.
Yeah.
Daniel uses it all the time for his Twitter.
Oh yeah, yeah, for my blog, yeah. Yeah.
I know he does because I look at the time going, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a neat thing. I didn't know you could do it on Twitter either, but luckily she did.
Huh.
Kevin or Doug?
You wanna go, Kevin, or do you want me to go?
Go ahead, Doug. It's okay, go ahead.
I am completely 180 degrees away from Simon on this. I love this movie. Starting off with filming the men dancing in the club like any other director would film scantily clad females dancing in the club, that just – it won me over immediately at the beginning. I disagree with Simon that it was repetitive because each person she went after, it was different circumstances. Mm-hmm. There was the other female student who still – blamed the female student for getting into that situation. Yeah. There was the dean who investigated but took the male student's word over the female student. Then there was the lawyer who badgered the student. He was the one that suffered the most out of the non-victims. I'm not going to say he suffered more than the victim. He suffered out of the non-victims for what he did. And she forgave him for that. She let him go. And then the ending, I'm going to say that she sacrificed herself. that she knew what was going to happen because, unfortunately, the police take murder a lot more seriously than they do sexual assaults. And with murder, there is 100% a clear victim, and she was willing to make that sacrifice to get justice for her friend. I thought this movie was absolutely brilliant. The acting, the writing, the directing, everything about it was amazing.
See, I like that aspect of the film more, that you mentioned that, just with the sacrifice. Sorry, Simon.
You're saying she wanted to get murdered? I don't think so. I think she thought she was going to get away with it.
I think she wanted to get away with it, but she kind of knew that she would not.
I think I think it was in her plans that scenario either way.
Yeah, so she planned for both scenarios. So like it's like, okay, if I get away with it, fine, but it won't make as big of a difference. But if I get murdered, damn. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good point, Doug. Mm-hmm.
Kevin?
I'm pretty much in complete agreement with Doug. I enjoyed this movie immensely. I thought Carey Mulligan was great. I kept thinking, like, if it was a different situation and it was a male character, then this would be the Punisher, essentially. This is the Punisher who's out there. His family was murdered. He wants to get revenge on the people that does it. So every night he goes out and he hunts down criminals and kills them or whatever. He tries, you know, if they can redeem themselves, he'll let them go. If in his mind there is actually some good to them and they're not completely evil. But she's the same way. It's basically she sets herself up to be sexually assaulted every night. She goes along with some really stupid guys. And almost every guy she meets does something silly, whether it's trying to put something in her drink or whatever, trying to get her drunk to the point where they can just take advantage of her. I agree that I think she arranged for both contingencies, but was probably thinking that she would be murdered or something bad would happen to her, which is why she parked her car so far away, but near the house and sent the texts and so forth. And anyway, I highly recommend it. It is one of my favorite films from last year, but I didn't see it in time for our top 10 episodes. So.
I have one question before we go. How does she have so much money when she works at a crappy coffee shop?
She probably saved it because she lives at home with her parents.
Mm-hmm. She has no expenses except for her car.
Did she seem to have a lot of money?
Yeah, what is she doing that would require a lot of money?
She goes to clubs, buys drinks, maybe.
She lets guys buy drinks.
The men are probably buying her a lot of drinks.
She's paying off that guy with Alison Brie. She gives him money. She has car insurance and a car. Mm.
She may be stealing from the guys that she...
Yeah, she lives at home.
I don't know. She has a cell phone. I mean, I think a lot of expenses here I have issues with. She keeps getting different outfits all the time. That all costs money.
I guess.
Yeah, but if she's living at home, she's not paying rent. She's not paying utilities. You know, she has money coming in. She has a job.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
I heard. I don't think her lifestyle seemed that extravagant. For me to question it at least. But fair enough.
Well, and I suspect that at certain occasions she steals from the guys that she catches.
I could see that. I would like to have seen. Maybe that would make me feel better.
Like a little.
You know, give me whatever money you have, and I will let you off.
Yeah. Because I mean, the only full thing we saw of what she did was with McLovin, like that fact that she. She just scares the freaking life out of them to not doing it again. Like I feel like that was the whole only time we saw the entire arc of those specific ones.
That was my one question about the movie. She had different color X's. I wanted to know what each of those colors meant. There was the black, the blue, and the red.
Oh, in the notebook?
Yeah, so
that's right, too.
I didn't know what the different colors represented. I don't think it was just that was the pen that was on hand at the time. I'm guessing that there's probably like red was physical abuse maybe, or black was, I don't know.
Okay.
I just wanted to know that.
Or like maybe just one, only one color is like, okay, this one was actually a good guy, but that probably wouldn't be in the notebook at all.
They're in pencils, so they could be erased.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, after meeting, are you going to run away?
Yes, we will run. Directed by Anish Chiganti, starring Sarah Paulson, Kira Allen, Pat Healy, and Tony Revolori as the voice of the Brooklyn guy that she calls to try to get the information about the prescription.
Hey, that guy was important.
Sure, I thought that was interesting. I mean, I like him at Grand Budapest Hotel.
Lucky number Kevin.
I didn't see it, so next.
Lucky number Doug.
I did not care for this film. It felt very generic to me. The only thing that was somewhat interesting was that the actress herself was in a wheelchair, so it's like the first time. I think I read either the first or second time that an actual actor in a wheelchair played a role in a thriller like this. That was the one thing I thought was maybe a little interesting. The rest of it was just incredibly generic. I felt like I've seen this before.
You have.
Catherine Paulson, an actress who I like. I just didn't. Sarah Paulson, yes. And on Instagram, she's Miss Sarah Catherine Paulson or something.
Oh, sorry. Like that. Okay.
She puts her. That's why I thought Catherine. But this movie just didn't really hold my attention all that much. I didn't care for it.
I'm surprised.
Wow.
I was enthralled by this one. I honestly didn't have time to rewatch it, but I remember just loving it. I love the structure of it. I love how Hitchcockian it is. I think it is a little bit predictable for sure, but I love the way that it flows. It's like a quick 90 minutes. I like the way it was filmed, just the way it's just claustrophobic and just one home and just the ways that she just had to get around things that people could easily do, like get through a door and reach a doorknob. And I thought the way that the director did that was awesome. And I love his first film, Searching. And I love the thrillers that he's making. And I just want to see more from him. And I like this one a lot.
Well, can I recommend to you a similar story, but sure, better yes. told, in my opinion?
Sure. Okay.
There was a miniseries on Hulu called The Act, starring Joey King as the daughter and Patricia Arquette as the mother, based on a true story. Similar, but different and better. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I had until Joey King came up. Nope.
Yeah,
she was really good in the series.
And Anna Sophia Robb is in it too, and I love her. So I'll look that up. I've heard of it, but I haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
Thanks for the recommendation, though.
Well, I'll pick up. I'm going to actually join Daniel for a change. I really had fun with this. It was nice, easy to watch. I like the stupid rooms. I like Sarah Paulson taking out the mailman. That made me happy. I let so many things go in this film that I don't normally, because it was just such a nice palate cleanser. I love the end of the film. I have one. I don't even care about the room that she locks her in. She keeps everything. Because I've read complaints. Well, she's in the room. Why does she keep everything? Because she's insane. She keeps everything because that's what she does. She's has issues.
In the basement?
I just have one big issue. Most people have covered what I want, except for the end of the film. When Sarah Paulson gets shot on the stairs, why are those people just standing watching?
Who shot her anyway?
Security guards.
Okay. I was wondering the angle that came from, because like they were saying like stop, put the gun down, and all of a sudden and she was shot, but I didn't see where it came from, so I was wondering.
Well, I thought it was still weird that the pharmacist played into this. I thought that was a little strange. It was a little bit of a stretch, but I'm like, I'm gonna let.
Well, she said it was like a game they're playing, so.
Oh, I love games. Like, she got that one pharmacist that loves playing games. Like, that always comes up in my life. I go to Shoppers. Hey, what's Doug getting? Oh, is this a game? I love playing games. Let me tell you what Doug's getting this week.
I like how that just kind of proved her quick thinking. Just be like, oh, how do I relate to her? Even though she hasn't been out of the house much. I thought that was really cool.
Thinking was done when she went through one window into the other room.
Ooh, I love that.
Scene. And brought water with her, even though she's asthmatic. Okay, I'll let that go. Like, I let so much stuff go because I was having fun with this film.
Huh.
I was just enjoying the premise. I mean, is it something? I agree with Doug. It's very cliche and all that, but I just enjoyed it because I needed a palate cleanser at this point. Depending on what crap I was watching, when you sit through seven Tremors film in 1 week, you get something half decent.
I was reading your Tremors rants.
Yeah, Tremors franchise has a few issues.
Yeah.
Hence, we're not doing them on the show.
I was about to ask, are you going to make us watch any?
No.
Maybe the Jimmy Kennedy
one. Tremors 1 you should watch, but other than that, no.
Yeah, the first one is good.
I love the first one.
So, yeah, I like Ron, Kevin but Bacon. Is it great? No, but enjoyable? I thought yes.
Okay. Bob, did you see it?
Yeah, I did. I saw it. I was 70-30 on this movie because I did enjoy it, but I've seen ones that are the same like type. I thought Sarah Paulson as character was really like crazy. I believed it. And I didn't lose interest once. But like I felt it had been done before. Like, and I can't think of the movie it was, but
Rindo, Disturbia.
Just Becca Hitchcock.
Just anything.
Whatever, yeah. Like it was like her Sarah Paulson keeping Kiara. I know she's like in real life she's confined to a wheelchair, but like the drug she was keeping her on, it was you need me, so that's why she was doing it like this. And I believe the characters. It's just like I was just because I've seen something so similar a few times before. That's why I'm 70-30. What?
Misery even.
I never saw Misery.
This is just specifically my taste. So just any, just pick any thriller.
I just can't think. It might be Misery. It's just like keeping somebody so dependent on you that I enjoyed it. But that's why I was 70-30 on it, because it's been done so many times before and I can't think of it. Which if I could think of the movie, it would be better. But I can't. So moving on.
Thank you. That was all right. A little strange.
You guys have seen Searching, eh?
Yes, I have Searching.
Okay, love that film. Are you hopping into the vault?
Is that with...
this director's first film, so I was just curious.
Hang on.
With John Cho on the...
Do we have a vault this film? Isn't
John Cho.
There is no vault film.
Well, I mean, 2016 is the earliest one, so is that technically vault?
Technically.
2016 could be a vault, but Support the Girls is 2019.
Oh, okay. Well, I stand corrected.
Identical Strangers is 2018.
And Columbus is 2017. Well, screw it then. We're just keep going. Are we going to Support the Girls?
Not after watching this film.
Directed by Andrew Bajowski, starring Regina Hall, Haley Lee Richardson, Dylan Jalula, Shayna McHale, Leo Delaria, James the Gross, Janet Kramer, and AJ Machaca, who is a blast from the past.
Blast from the past, AJ Machaca.
Ali and AJ.
Also in Easy A.
Ali and AJ, right straight out of the mid-2000s.
Is this some Disney Channel original you're talking about?
Whoa. Well, her sister, Ali Machaca, was on Phil of the Future. So like they're like Disney Channel, but they were a band, Ali and AJ.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. No, okay. You can start your rant, sir. Start your rant.
You want to hear this one? What's the point of this film? Would somebody help me? I got to get to the point. I wanted to kill them all. One after another, systematically have the guy from Scream, Ghostface, taking them out room by room.
That'd be a good premise.
I would have thought this film. Just take them out. Every time they go somewhere, one done. Do the car wash. Take somebody out in the suns. There's so much missed opportunity in this film. This is just boring. Absolutely dull. There's nothing wrong with it. There's just nothing really interesting in it. I just, again, have problems believing these characters would sit there and yak for an hour and a half about nothing. Like, there's
so wait,
no
what are
boys.
We doing here then?
Pretty much the same thing as Support the Girls.
Support the boys. For the boys.
I need to hang out with my friends occasionally. That's what this film's about. Literally, it's a podcast on a bar I've never been to, nor ever going to go to. But I did like the blonde from Columbus. I thought she was solid.
Haley Richardson, yeah.
I thought she was really good. But other than that, I think this is dumb. Like, what was the point of the scene when she goes to look at the apartment with her husband? And he's like, nah, I don't want it, and leaves.
Just that her life is falling apart.
But this film is falling apart. It's so mundane. I mean, you probably spend an hour and a half with these people. Give me something to cheer for. Ghostface, an axe murderer, a car crash, them sitting on a roof talking about some woman. I say, who cares?
But they didn't.
Boring.
They didn't set out to make a slasher, though. It's not that kind of movie.
They should have. It would have been better. I mean,
that would have been fun, but no, I liked it. I mean, it's just a slice of life. Just Regina Hall's character, her life is falling apart, and just stay over it. And I like the look of the bar, how it looks like a bar straight out of Bar Rescue. I like the premise of just like setting it at a sports car with curves, or sports bar with curves. I said sports car, and I liked her maternal instincts of just taking care of her girls, I guess, supporting the girls, and just her fight as a boss. I thought that was, I liked her character. I liked Haley Lou Richardson. Some of it's boring for sure. I thought it lost some steam when she left the bar and just went home. And then we just saw the anarchy of them, like, but that the workplace falls apart without her managing it. And I thought that was interesting, just their codependence on her as well. I didn't think it was amazing, but I enjoyed it. I don't know if I could tell you what the point of it was. I think it's just a slice of life of...
There is just, no point.
Regina Hall's character, just losing everything.
Day in the life.
Yeah, exactly. That's it for me.
So I didn't see it, but I did see the trailer, and I was not impressed. So
I think it ran off.
And thank you for that, Kevin.
I didn't even see the trailer, so.
Should be a trailer, trailer critic.
I saw this movie Kevin. Recently.
Doug, you didn't see this
I
one?
I did not.
Uh-oh.
What the hell kind of crap is this? You guys make me suffer through this crap, and you guys don't watch it? Not fair.
I watched.
We're getting to you.
I couldn't support the girls.
It's been on my watches since 2018, so I was just like, you know what? Hey, I like the poster. I like Regina Hall. I like Haley Lou Richardson. Let's do it. In turn.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Can I go?
Yeah, I was just adding on. That was just a quick point.
Oh, I'm sort of in between Simon and Daniel because, like, I didn't like the movie. I lost interest about quarter of the way through, and I do like Haley Lou Richardson and Regina Hall in other movies, but this movie, I just lost interest. It didn't get me, or I didn't get it, and it's like the story in the restaurant. I'm just, I don't care. So I sort of. How is that halfway through between?
No, that's more on Simon's side, really.
Okay. I think so. Yeah.
All right. I guess it is.
I just thought the film, I was kind of happy when they went to the second job interview because I knew it was over. Like, okay, I got the end of the film. She got the job. She's getting the job at the new place. They pretty much told us that.
Yeah,
you had me power through four films, and this was one of them. I'm going, why?
I gave you. Just so the listeners know, I have to watch these films in 1 week. Just so the intern has 1 week to watch them. So don't blame me. You powered through four in a week. You had them on Friday.
That's not what I said.
Eight days to watch them.
You powered through four films. Okay, let me reword that.
Let me reword that. I powered through it because, like, this was one of the ones that was not good.
No, it's crap.
I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming
the movie. Blame me, Bob.
Okay.
But... I do think there was a point to it, and just that it's small town. They're just a local restaurant, and then the big corporate America is trying to get in. Stop talking as I'm talking, Simon. It's distracting. Okay. Are we gonna? Wow, there's only five people here. What about the three identical strangers?
Dog, did you bring some imaginary friends with you again?
Always. They're all in my head.
Are they going to come out?
Three identical Possibly. Strangers with Robert Shaffron, David Kelman, and Eddie Galland in archive footage. Sorry to cut it off.
Oh, no. You want me to go first on this? One?
All right. So if you're asking me, okay. No, I did not because – hold on. This is my funny story. It's on Crave, and I want to see this movie. I've been wanting to see this movie for a while since I saw the trailer. So every time I went to Crave to play it, I got an error message. Something popped up on the screen saying error. So I tried to watch it on my iPad, and it was in French, and it wouldn't let me change the language settings. And I'm like, well, I can't watch it in French. I sort of understand French, but there's not enough, so – So I didn't watch it.
Sacre bleu.
Yeah. The people were talking in English, and this asshole French guy kept talking over them to the point where I didn't understand what they were saying. So,
no.
So I didn't see
that, it. That was vastly sunny. Doug, do you want to talk about this film that you may have watched?
Sure. I watched it, and I can honestly say there is no other movie that I have seen that has made me angrier. The more I thought about this movie, the angrier I got. And the fact that, as far as I know, there has been no repercussions at all for this adoption agency. It just – it blows my mind. It was an amazing documentary. I love that it started off this happiness, this mystery of what's going on. But then, like an onion, when you peel the layers – it just got darker and darker and darker. And then finally that last like peel of the onion where they revealed why these three identical strangers also had sisters. I got so – I was angry for weeks after watching this movie. I'm going to be honest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. That's like a – that sounds like a 12 on the Doug scale.
Yeah, I love the movie, but it angered me a lot.
Is this the first time you watched it, or had you seen it when it came out?
I watched it when I couldn't rewatch it for this because it made me so angry when I watched it when it first came out.
Okay, so the feelings are still raw. Okay.
Yeah. It just angered me that people can actually experiment on other humans in that respect and face no consequences.
Yeah, I have to agree. I don't know if it may be – I think I watched it 2 days ago, so I don't know if I feel as angry as you did. But I like psychology. I like the nature of nurture thing. But just doing this for just this experiment of just separating even twins, but now like triplets in this case, that's just, yeah, very sad. Like you said, I love how it starts just happy and just – I was getting chills like just watching them come together, and I was like – okay, this is one of my favorite documentaries for the first 40 minutes. And then I still loved it when it was getting into the darker side of it and just understanding what makes them tick. And just getting to the nature versus nurture and the depression and just the mental illness that they had and just unlocking the mystery. And then, yeah, if one thing made me angry is that it's the information was locked up until 2066. Yeah. But at the end of the film, they say they got access. So I don't know if there would be like a sequel or something.
But they only got access to their stuff, I think. I don't think they got access to everything is what I was understood.
Okay,
so what they were saying is there's people out there that don't know they have a doppelganger, right? They don't have a twin. That's what amazed me. When the guy, one of the research assistants talking, and he says, yeah, I can't tell them I saw your brother last week. And I'm like, how can you do that as a person? Have a study and split people up. I was like, what the hell? What moron thought this was a good idea? Because the one parent said, I would have taken all three.
Yeah.
Right. You know, to me, I mean, I'm not a single kid, so I don't know if Doug is. But
no, I have a brother.
Okay, so
here I am. I'm coming in as someone who's worked in research for many years. And the study of twins are very interesting because essentially you've got three individuals with basically the same genetic template. And so you follow them. You often want to study twins. We did a breast cancer study involving twins at one point. So we actually went out to recruit people who were twins to see why does one twin get breast cancer? Why does not the other not? But they were, of course, aware that they were twins. They knew that. But in this case, they separated them out to see what the social, like the sociological and economic effects were on individuals with the same genetic background, essentially based on what I'm reading, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So essentially they wanted to see if three people who are essentially the same, one lives in a poor house, one lives in a rich house, and one lives in a middle-class house, or what are they affected by? Are they seeing different types of disease? Are they different types of education, different types, you know, how does this affect a whole bunch of different things? It's interesting, but it's also completely inhumane. You couldn't do something like that.
It's straight up Nazi shit.
Yeah, it is.
That's a good way to put it.
It is, for sure. So,
okay.
There's no study that would authorize that. Like, no.
No. No, you know, back in the 60s at the start of psychology, right? That's what that one woman was saying.
Yeah.
Like, I thought this was nuts. Like, I thought it was going to be a fun documentary about these guys finding each other. You know, it was a mistake that they all got split up. Mm-hmm. In the first half of the film, everybody's happy and they're playing, they're showing old clips. And I've kind of thought, and I guess because like they were giving me so much information, I didn't realize the third twin wasn't there.
Same here.
Do you know what I mean? Because I was trying to follow the story. So I'm like, okay, they all met each other and they're showing us. And then they were really smart, the filmmakers. They showed me, kept showing me old clips of all three of them. So in my brain, I'm thinking I'm watching all three of them all the time, not realizing it's only two, but because they keep doing interviews and they're talking about all three at the same time. So I thought that was really well done. As a viewer, I didn't realize that one of the twins was not there. Until I'm like, wait a second. And
if I could jump in, I was just going to say, I've noticed with the structure that one was missing just because they introduced David as soon as they brought him in, but they didn't introduce Eddie as soon as they talked about him. But that's fair.
But I thought it was weird when they went to the woman assistant that worked on the study. Like this happy little old lady. Look at my photo with Obama. Look at my photo with Mrs. Obama. I'm like, at no time did she say the study was wrong. She goes, I don't know. I was just there doing my job, blah, blah, blah. Same with the other guy. But the other guy I thought was a little bit better saying, hey, we know there were twins and we were doing this and this and that.
I
feel bad. Like I said, by the end of this, I agree with Doug. This is insane that there's people out there that don't know they have a twin. Like I would go nuts. Not that I think I have one. I'm just saying that's inhumane. I have to agree with Doug's statement. It's Nazi stuff.
So you're saying like, you have
a
twin?
Who would do this? Well, you guys are in trouble if I do, because they'll be on the show next.
Oh, God.
See, if I'm not here, they'll be here. And hopefully they're exactly like me.
Wait, for the past 10 years, have you been switching out with your twin on this podcast?
I have.
So dead ringers, but with Simon?
Yes.
Yes.
The other twin must be the one that liked the cheerleading movie, and that's why I was shocked.
That's correct.
Yes.
Which cheerleading movie?
Work It?
Oh, not Work It.
Fired Up?
Bring It On?
That one and the
For All the Girls I Loved.
Bring It On.
Bring It On. How could I forget?
Bring It On. Oh, Bring It On is a classic.
Exactly.
Yeah, but Simon doesn't usually like that type of thing.
Peyton Reed.
Anyway.
That Peyton Reed?
Yeah.
Oh, see, good director. That's why I liked it.
Yeah.
The Ant-Man guy?
Yeah.
The Ant-Man guy, yes. That's why Ant-Man's so much fun. He knows what he's doing. If he directed Malcolm Marie, maybe I would have liked it. Wouldn't it be so boring?
Fair.
Bob, so watch Three this? Identical Strangers. Go hunt down some Nazis and have a good time. Hey, maybe it could be like Columbo.
I don't think Bob is talking about it.
I thought we talked. I don't want. Okay, no. Go.
Okay. I after watching it, I didn't like it. And then after hearing Doug and you talk about it, I understand why. Because I like the psychology of it, but I didn't like, as you said, the part about where they separate the twins, and then when they showed them all happy when they were younger, I thought, and when they met, I thought that was great. And then Then later on, I find out the one died because he was depressed, and his depression like went on and on and on. And they talked to his wife and killed himself. And I thought, this is not right. And the fact that they were watching them, the fact that the adoption agency separated them, with knowing that somebody would want the three of them together, that was the worst part. So now I understand more why I didn't like it. Like, I mean, it was great hearing the psychology part of it, like, but it just didn't. I lost interest, and now I know why.
You wanted more like the human element?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm not sure. It's just like the fact that this happened to them, and the one guy killed himself because of it. Like the other two brothers, this could happen to them because they do share the same similar traits. So. Now I understand because of what Doug and Simon were saying. Now I understand why I didn't like it as much as why I didn't like it.
As well as what I was saying too.
Probably. Yes, you too.
Okay. That's fair. And I mean, just to add one more thing too, just with David having like the really lovable dad kind of thing. Cause they all have like darkness behind their eyes, but I feel like he still has problems, but he seems to be the best off out of them, I guess. Yeah. Are we going to Columbus?
I think
Ohio?
So.
Indiana, I think.
Oh.
Starring John Cho, Haley Lou Richardson, Parker Posey, Michelle Forbes, and Rory Culkin. Directed by Kogonada.
Kogonada.
Is that how you say it? Kogonada?
I don't know. I'm just reading it. Kogonada is how I think it.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'll go first with this one. I picked two Haley Lou Richardson films because all the four films that I really picked, besides the new releases, are ones I've been meaning to watch for a while and I just haven't yet. And Columbus was one of those ones. And I just wanted to, I find she's like a diverse actress. I like the energy she brings to every role. I like the film, the characters that she chooses with like 5 Feet Apart, Split, Columbus, and then Support the Girls we talked about earlier. And there's some dead spaces in this film, but I like the story of just two people who are tethered to one town by familial commitments. And just not being able, like, they can start their own life. Or, well, that's the case for Haley Lou Richardson's character, and she strikes up a friendship with John Cho's character, who comes back because his father is in a coma, and he's tethered there by that. And I thought that was interesting. I liked their friendship, or kind of relationship. It seemed platonic, but it's kind of ambiguous, I guess. I liked their conversations. I didn't love other conversations, like some of it I didn't get, like Rory Culkin just talking about that one thing about the guy not liking video games, but the kid liking video games, but the dad not liking video games. That was random. But it makes me want to visit Columbus, Indiana, just with all the architecture. And I just thought in that way, the visuals of the film are really cool. And just especially that, the way he frames his shots, like I thought that scene with John Cho and Parker Posey talking in the mirror, I thought that was really interesting to watch. Yeah, I don't know if anyone wants to jump off from there.
Intern.
Yeah. Okay. I thought both John Cho and I like Haley Lou Richardson, but I thought they looked bored, especially John Cho. Except when they were talking about the architecture, and that's the only point in which I sort of got interested. After that, I sort of lost interest in the film, even though I just watched it. And that's it.
Okay, I'll pick up where Intrin left off. I agree with almost everything you're saying. I think the dialogue a little more richness than you're really giving it, but I get what you're saying. The architecture scenes were great. When they were actually discussing something of interest, great. Rory Culkin needs to go away. He was just kind of random whenever he showed up. I'm like, why is Rory Culkin here?
He hasn't aged since Scream 4.
No, he hasn't. I'm like, is he trying to get a date or not trying to? I'm really confused. And what the hell is Harley Richardson's issue? She got offered her dream job. Go do it. Like, it's pretty simple. This town sucks. Your mom's telling you to do it. And you're like, oh, I need to stay here. Oh, I don't know. I think I'm going to hang out and smoke with this older guy for the whole movie and talk about my issues that we should, that, you know, I don't know if I should go. What do you think, John Cho? Oh, I think this house is really cool. Oh, yes, this house was blah, blah, blah. Now, I got offered a job. Oh, and this guy wants to date me, but I don't know if I should. Who cares? I really just don't care. Go take the job. Please. We all know you need to. John Cho, you don't like your dad. I got it. I got that in the first 20 minutes. I didn't need to hear about it for the next hour. This movie drove me nuts. Absolutely hit the same point. It's like watching Promising Young Woman again. Bang, 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 bang. Architecture, emo. Architecture, emo. Architecture, emo. Over, over, over again. What was going on with you, Daniel? All these films have a similar thing to drive me nuts.
Oh, that was the point. There's, I mean, really, there are four films on my list that I haven't watched yet because maybe they seem like a little boring. But I don't know. I like them. So maybe that was just a happy accident in that way.
Doug, did you see this?
I did not.
Lucky I'm saving you. These films just for you, Simon.
I think you did. Little sleight of hand there, Daniel.
I enjoyed the trailer. I just watched the trailer.
That's great.
No, I'm actually, unfortunately, I asked too late and someone yelled at me and said he no longer could help me out getting it. And so I didn't get a chance to see it, but looking at it, I'm like the architecture and the look of Columbus, Indiana looked.
Looks the weird thing is though, good. So. Me and Douglas spoke about this about 2 weeks ago, and Douglas said it was a $5 rental, and he had no problems getting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just didn't.
You just didn't watch it.
Yeah, I just didn't get around to doing it.
Okay.
Okay. Daniel, show me your sleight of hand because you have no poker face.
A sleight directed by J.D. Dillard, starring Jacob Lattimore, Seychelle Gabriel, Storm Reid, Sashir Zamata, Cameron Esposito, and Dooley Hill. Now, did everyone watch this film?
Okay, Douglas, you're up.
Did the Insane Clown Posse write this movie? Because magnets do not work that way. I had to look up, can an electromagnet stop a bullet? And the answer is no.
What?
So it wouldn't stop three. It would not redirect a bullet into a guy's forehead with that much. This movie was dumb. What professor would see that a potential, not an actual student, a potential student was experimenting on himself and then help him do it more? This was so dumb. I'm sorry. I did not like this. I thought it was dumb.
That's okay. I'll go. I'll tell you guys why I picked this one. I thought it was going to be more magic than Project Power. I thought it was interesting. Oh, just a street magician trying to save her... his sister from getting kidnapped. I didn't realize that she wouldn't get kidnapped until 23 minutes left in a 89-minute movie. So the part of the film that I wanted to watch it for was like the superhero magic aspect came in the last 15 minutes. And I mean, I think that kind of met my expectations. Like when he takes the guy's grills out of his mouth, that was awesome. I was like, oh, damn, that's sick. But I know what you mean, Doug, with just... I guess I'm not a big science guy where I'm just like, oh, wow, he did that? That's cool. I'll believe it. Oh, I'm just gullible like that, I guess. And I was just mostly interested in the film from the end and just what would happen next, because it seems to set itself up for a sequel, but that'll never come. And I'm just more interested in him if he went past it. And it's just, I don't mind the whole... drug aspect of the film. I like Dooley Hill as the big drug kingpin because I love him in Holes.
See, I didn't buy him as a threat.
Dule Hill. I can't picture him as menacing.
Yeah, I mean, because he's just the guy on that Zoom call in freaking what's that one we watched the other week? Lockdown.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was also President Bartlett's aide in The West Wing.
Okay. See, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I mean, I only know him mostly as Sam from Holes, so that's fair. Like, just you should be reciting poetry than threatening people and cutting people's hands off. But yeah, I mean, it was, I wanted more, but I didn't mind how it was written. It's just really slow. But yeah, this one is a bit of a miss. I mean, yeah, maybe all four were.
I didn't know where they were going in this film ever. I was kind of like, okay, we're doing magic tricks. I was into that. Thought that was kind of cool. And then I figured out he taking care of his sister, selling drugs. Okay, I get that. Cops pull him over. He does a sleight of hand trick. I'm like, that was kind of cool. I'll give it yeah. that. This film's going nowhere quickly. Okay, I'm half an hour in and still don't know what's going on. Oh, he's skimming off the top. Got it. Okay, so that's going to be the next problem. Then he's got to get the money back. And that random scene when he steals the money made no sense to me. I'm like, what is the point of this? And then at the very end, they have the big thing and the usher man. I'm like, I just don't care. It had his chance. By that point, I didn't care. I just wanted an end to it. And I'm sorry to hear that the electromagnetic thing couldn't work in real life because I thought that was a pretty good part of the movie. But what can you do?
If you believe it at the time, I think it's fine.
It's fine, yeah. I guess that's it. Did anybody buy anything this week?
Oh, I just wanted to add on. Doug,
Bob didn't get to talk.
Okay, Bob, you want to go?
Yeah, I agree with Doug. But I agree with you, Daniel, at the same time. And like as the magic's happening, I thought, okay, I like that part. But that was the only part of the movie I liked. It was a miss for me. But then when Doug explained, well, that can't happen in real life, and I'm going, aw. And so that I didn't like the movie to begin with. Because like the only part of it I liked was the sleight of hand and everything, where he changes the cards into another card, and then the offshoot of what he's doing to steal the drugs and steal whatever, and I'm going, yeah. But as you said, like with the scientist was helping him to make him the electromagnetic thing in his arm go more, and I'm going, I just accepted it at the time, and I'm going, but. No, I did like the premise of the, like, not the whole, not the where he's stealing stuff, but the part where it's sleight of hand magician.
Okay,
that makes sense. No,
the street magician stuff.
Yeah.
Now, so Doug, I was going to ask: is this not the same movie as Arch Enemy?
No, it is not. Arch Enemy is different.
Like the same structure, though, just with like stealing and then getting themselves in that situation. I noticed a lot of similarities.
A little bit, I would say, but I think Arch Enemy had better acting in it and a better story all around, I would say.
Yeah.
But that's just my opinion.
I agree. Yeah. Okay.
Anybody buy anything this week?
Yes. Two $5 specials. I bought Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Oh, I saw that in theater.
Yeah, so did I. And I was very disappointed by the quality of the video in it. It needs an upgrade. It says it's HD, but it looks like it's like videotape. Mad Dog and Glory.
It's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Watching for the next episode.
Interestingly enough. Better be better than Slight.
It has Bill Murray and Robert De Niro.
Yes. I saw it years ago. I'm sure I did. I just don't remember anything about it.
Was it Uma Thurman?
Yes.
That's what I was thinking. Okay. But I would have seen it for sure because Uma's in it. Young Uma. Yep. Okay. Are we finally out of here?
I think so.
Hold on. Yeah. Because I bought Top Gun and the $5 bin and the Infestation, $12.
What movie?
Infestation.
Who is in that?
I don't know. It didn't matter. I saw it in the bin, so I thought.
So, I want to back this up a second. So you go to Walmart, you got a bag of bananas, some tomatoes, maybe some crackers. Then you wander over to the DVD section. I presume there's just the one random bin in the middle.
Oh, Linda Park's in it and Brooke Nevin. Chris Marquette.
And you're like, I have $5 I want to burn. I'm going to take this one. Is that how it works? Explain to me how this bin diving works.
It's like, I bet he's saying to himself, I bet you Simon hasn't seen this, and I'm going to make him watch this. See, I know Bob well enough. He's like, I'm going to make Simon watch Infestation.
Exactly. So.
Is that really how it works?
Sort of, but I was buying a bookshelf at the same time, and then I happened to see this movie, and I'm going, oh
what?
And he's like, this would help me support my bookshelf.
That's what I'm thinking. Go on.
Level it.
I only have about 89 DVDs, and they don't look quite even enough. If I bought one more, that bookshelf would look perfectly symmetrical.
Well, there's another movie I bought, but I can't remember the title, so it'll go on the other side of the bookshelf.
So that's an even better one.
Okay. And if they make it,
I have to buy
Bob,
it.
Bob buys it. Yeah. So Simon watches it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're out of here. Bye-bye.